Hello there and greetings. It's North Shore Sports Night for a Monday night. First week of high school football, second week of sports all together. A lot to talk about tonight. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and we have Tim Kearns, Bill Newell, waiting in the wings somewhere down the road, and many, many people to talk to tonight, and we will be getting to that very quickly. So, here we go. Just make sure you press the right buttons here, and cancel that up there. All right. So, tonight, where's my lineup? You can see on the website here, we have a lot to talk about. By the way, our first weekend of football broadcasting went very, very well. We had three games over the weekend. Actually, we had four games over the weekend. We had a doubleheader from Lynn on Friday night that saw Lynn English end up losing to Swampscott, and Lynn Classical end up on the wrong end of the score with Gloucester. Last minute come from behinder there. And let's see, what else do we have? We have Danvers over Winthrop. We did that game. Oh, I have to shut off the scanner. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Hold on. Can't have the scanner on. Let me take this. There we go. Sorry about that. And we can run through the scores here. We got some of the coaches we'll be talking with. But again, it was Gloucester over Classical by two. Manchester Essex winning their first game over Northeast. First game of the season, 21-12. Beverly shut out Wakefield in our Saturday broadcast game, 24-0. Danvers over Winthrop, 27-7. And by the way, the Gloucester Classical game, if you take a look at Friday's results, you will see that we have posted the video from that game. So we have live streaming video, and then it gets archived and on demand within 24 hours, probably within about 15 hours, actually. It takes a little while to get it up there, but it's pretty quick. And this weekend, our weekend game, our video game will actually be Beverly at Wakefield. We've changed the schedule a little bit, so we will have Wakefield at Beverly on Friday night, and we'll go to the website and check out the other scheduled broadcast games as well. For some reason, I didn't write those down, so I think I know what they are, though, but we'll get to those in a little while. Anyway, continuing with the scoreboard, Triton, big win over Peabody, 23-15. Salem lost Archbishop Williams, 31-6. As we mentioned, Swampscott over Lynn English, 11-8 in overtime. The Prep beat Haverhill, 33-29. Fenwick, we're going to be talking, actually Bill Newell talks with Bishop Fenwick football coach Dave Woods in a little while. Fenwick over Hamilton, won them 22-0. Melrose, 26, Masco, 13. North Reading over Ipswich, 21-13. Cathedral down to Essex Tech, 28-24. Medford squeezed by Revere, 30-28. Tough loss for the Patriots. Austin Prep, 20. Saugus, 6. Newburyport, big win over Linfield, 32-12. And we're going to talk with Coach Mike Levine in just a little while. Canton shut out Pentucket, 6-0. Norwell, 44. Amesbury, 6. Georgetown shut out Matinon, 33-0. And Lintech shut out Chelsea, 34-0. So in our games coming up this weekend, our football broadcast schedule again on Friday night, our video game will be Marblehead at Wakefield, and we don't have that posted up there for some reason, do we? Yeah, we do. Okay, I see. Bill took down the previous score, schedule. Okay, I usually leave the whole thing up there. But anyway, all right, we do have Marblehead at Wakefield on Friday at 7 p.m. That's our video game, scheduled to be our video game. And on and we'll also be broadcasting on Channel B, but it'll be simulcast. Channel A will feature St. Mary's at Lynn English at 7 p.m. And then two more games. Think about that. We will have had eight games in two weekends. On Saturday, it will be Gloucester at Beverly, 1 p.m. That's not a video game. We'll also have Lynn Classical at Swampscott. That's a noon game. So all of those games coming up here on msonewsports.com. So please let everybody know about it. Our website is msonewsports.com. Our email is msonewsports@gmail.com. But spread the word for us, if you don't mind. Okay, tonight, we'll start off in just a couple of minutes with Gary Larrabee, sports writer, sports historian. Going to bring us up to speed on the Ryder Cup and all things local involving golf. And then we'll talk with Manchester Essex coach Jeff Hutton. Got to meet Coach Hutton again last week. Got to sit in on a conversation with Coach Hutton, and very, very big win opening day. Mike Levine, the Newburyport head coach, first-year Newburyport coach, winning on Friday night, we'll talk to Coach Levine as well. And then, good Lord, one of them, the crick don't rise and nobody puts his finger on the magic button. We'll also have Scott Cooper, Tim Kearns, Bill Newell on board to talk some sports. But also, Tim talked with Gloucester girls hockey coach. If you say soccer and hockey, you get socky. woo, slow down. Gloucester girls soccer coach Allie Walsh earlier, I think last week sometime, and we'll air that interview. And then, as we mentioned, Bill Newell talked with Bishop Fenwick football coach Dave Woods today, and so we'll have that interview as well. If we don't get to those interviews during the next hour from 7 to 8, we'll add them on, and they'll be looping, and they'll be on demand as well. Plus, they'll be posted. Okay. So there you go. That's the schedule for this evening. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night. Tim is off tonight, but we'll check in with him by phone. And we've been doing this for quite a while. I want to keep on doing it, too. So send us your recommendations, your ideas, and whatnot to msonewsports@gmail.com. So have our first interview coming up. Check in with Gary Larrabee in just a few minutes. Stay with us, please.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sakis and Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sakis and Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SakisandSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sakis and Sportswear is the place to go.
Come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
All right, obviously, this game isn't presented by all our great sponsors, but tonight's program is, and thanks to Bill Newell for that. On the line now is Gary Larrabee, our sports historian and golf writer. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Little touch of fall in the air here, and getting close to the end of golf season, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but September's great, and October can be great, so we have to be optimistic. I hope we get at least, you know, 6 weeks to go, and there's a sign, though, that the competitive season's starting to wind down because we've got just a few events really left on the tournament calendar for our local pros or amateurs, and one of them is taking place right now over at Turner Hill in Ipswich, where they've had the first round of the two-round 56th Annual Massachusetts Senior Amateur Championship, and the leader after one round is Dick King from Hyannis. He shot 2-under 70. He's got a three-shot lead on Paul LeCamera of Plymouth, and Keith Smith of Franklin and Emil Koenig of Oak Hill. I mean, no one from the North Shore, unfortunately, until we get all the way down to a score of 77, which has been posted by the host club's Ned Yetton, as well as by Ferncroft's Steve Kammerer and Bass Rock's Jan Collins. So our guys have to get going and get really hot tomorrow to have a chance to overtake Dick King, who's still going to play to beat after one round. And at least they get some beautiful weather for it today and tomorrow.
Well, hey, you mentioned a former colleague of mine, Jan Collins. Jan, retired math teacher up in Gloucester. So at least we heard his name, so he's at least competing.
There's a lot of good retired school teachers who are very good amateur golfers in their senior days. So so that's happening at Turner Hill today and tomorrow, then wraps up. We had a very, very exceptional round shot today by Salem Country Club's Director of Instruction, Kirk Hannafeld, playing at Plymouth Country Club, where the par was 69. Kirk won the fifth and final 18-hole event in the individual stroke play series in the New England PGA Tournament Circuit this year. He shot 65, had a great day, wins $1,000, beat a very strong field by four shots, and now it sets the tone for the final event of that series, which comes up in a couple of weeks. But a great day for Kirk Hannafeld, one shot off the course record, competitive course record down at Plymouth. We had a couple other good scorers locally. Todd Scarafoni, an assistant at Turner Hill, shot 71, a good score, but not very good up against Kirk, 65. Kirk also was low pro in the senior division for another 275, and he was also low man with John Raynone from North Kingston Golf Club in Rhode Island. And the blind draw pros, we made a nice, tidy 17-75 today. A very good day for Kirk Hannafeld. It's a good timing, Bill, Rick, I should say, because Kirk and his wife Kathleen are moving into a new house in Hamilton this week.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And, I'm guessing, beautiful weather, everybody. And 65, man, that's good at any level, isn't it, Gary?
Is in Kirk, Kirk's 60 years old. Kirk's in the spring chicken, but he's playing with these guys who are half his age in some cases, and he's still got some serious game, and we're obviously hoping that he'll have the best of all serious games next May when they have some qualifying rounds in the region for the U.S. Senior Open Championship coming up at Salem at the end of next June. We're all hoping that Kirk can somehow get his spot in the field, and we'll see how that goes between now and then.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how that's going to shake down locally. That's going to be way cool in addition to bringing in the big guns. All right, Gary, so do we switch to national now?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay.
Of course, the big one this weekend was Dustin Johnson, the U.S. Open champion, who won the third of the four FedEx Cup playoff tournaments this weekend. The BMW Championship out at Crooked Stick out in Indiana, another $1.5 million for Dustin Johnson. I'm sure he'd buy some nice jewelry and some nice clothing for his significant other, Wayne Gretzky's daughter. Mm. But Dustin's the man right now, and Rory McIlroy, I'm not even sure if Rory played this week. I must confess, after we won last week at the Deutsche Bank, I think he played but did not play that great. Now they have this week off, and they come back to Atlanta next week for the fourth and final segment of that FedEx Cup playoffs with $10 million on the line, plus the standard $0.5 million for first place next week. So see if Johnson keeps it going and maybe end up being the FedEx Cup champion. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. The other big news today on the professional circuit, of course, is the naming by Ryder Cup captain Davis Love of three of his four captain's picks for the American Ryder Cup team that takes on the European team the last weekend in September out at Hazeltine out in Minneapolis. He chose today Ricky Fowler, J.B. Holmes, and Matt Kuchar, which leaves one more choice for him to make after next week's final leg,
you know, that
championship.
It didn't sound like Palmer, Player, and Nicklaus.
No, I'm afraid they're not, and that's one of the reasons they've been losing so much lately. They've lost like 7 of the last 10 Ryder Cups. But that's what Love made for his selections today, and it comes up in 3 weekends. We're all looking forward to it. See if the Americans can get their act together and bring the cup back to America.
All right.
That was the big story today. I think those are the 2 big stories actually in the big time ranks, and we'll continue keeping an eye on that stuff as it continues later this month.
Yeah. Final question on that in that category. Do you have any prediction for the FedEx Cup? I'm looking at the first 5 guys, and it looks like they're all within range of one another. Or you think Johnson's going to stay with it?
Well, you know, I guess the 3 of those first 5 guys are obviously the 3 winners of the tournament so far, which is Casey has been in the hunt, I think, all 3 weeks. The Englishman, he's right in there, I think, with Johnson and McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, obviously, at this point, you can't go wrong. I mean, I've been picking Dustin Johnson to win majors and to win every week for the last 5 years. He's so good in so many ways. So I'll be very surprised if Johnson doesn't continue to do this. It's great golf play and win it all a week after this weekend down in Atlanta.
Cool. All right. So what's coming up this week? You want to tease your article coming up in the Salem News?
Well, you know, I've always been prone to talking about the way I marvel at how these senior players can play so well, whether they're professionals or amateurs. And there's a couple around here who are just still extraordinary for their age. Both in their 60s, and I'm talking about Steve Sanomin from Salem and the Meadow at Peabody, and a fellow who I've talked about and written about quite a bit over the years, but he's still an amazing player at his age, 63-year-old Cy Kilgore from Tedesco. So we're going to talk a little bit about them this week and what their keys are to playing so well, so far along in their golf careers, now both in their 60s. For those of us who are trying to just keep the club in the hand when we turn 50, these guys can still play at a very high level, and they'll hopefully share some of their insight with our readers as to what keeps them going at such a high level.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I'm in that age bracket myself, and I'm looking for any little help, Gary. Health food, health drink, whatever it might be, exercise. So I'll be sure to read that. Looking forward to it. You going to be with us next week, Gary?
I certainly will be. I'll be here.
Okay. All right. Then we'll check in with you on Monday. Thank you, sir.
Look forward to it, Rick. We'll have a great week.
Thank you. You too, Gary. Take care.
Thank you.
Gary Larrabee, who's a golf writer, sports historian on MSONewsSports.com. This is North Shore Sports Night. Now, my boss, Bill Newell, is telling me that we want to direct your attention to our main page on the website. Make sure you take a look at it because we have a new post up there. Bill was able to get the post up there. Jermaine Edward, who had such a great game for Gloucester on Friday night, is the MSO player of the game. And Tim Kearns got to talk with the Gloucester running back who was on the long end of an 80-yard winning touchdown. Check it out right on our front page. In fact, the page you're listening to right now, live on MSO Radio, you've got an interview with Jermaine Edward posted, so you can click on that at any time. Not asking to leave us here now, but you can check it out right after the show. MSO Player of the Week, Jermaine Edward of Gloucester High School, Tim Kearns with that interview. Okay, coming up, we'll be talking with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton in just a minute. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. We'll be right back, so hang in there.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
Okay, we we had Coach Hutton on the line, and Coach Hutton has to take care of a little bit of business here with the family. Going to call him back in about 5 minutes. So in the interim, we can go ahead and run our interview with Allie Walsh that Tim Kearns did earlier. Tim talking with the Gloucester girls soccer coach.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell with Dick.
I'm Tim Kearns, and this is the Coach's File, brought to you by Big Jim's Auto Body, 19 Creek Street in Beverly. For the best in automotive auto body repair, contact Jimmy Zarella at 978-927-3201. That's Big Jim's Auto Body. Joining me today in our first edition of the Coach's File for the 2016-2017 school year is fourth-year girls varsity soccer coach Allison, formerly Walsh, Smith. Allison, I'll start off. I can't believe that we just discussed before we started. It's your fourth year as head coach. It doesn't seem that long ago that you were a student here.
No, it hasn't. Well, actually, yeah, it's been quite a long time, Tim. I'm old.
Well, certainly in my age, in comparative years, no, you're still relatively young. I still remember when you were a student here and a key member of the girls' soccer team at that point. And for you, it's certainly, as it has done for many of us in the coaching ranks, it's come full circle. You're back coaching the sport that you really excelled at while you were in high school, and you're coaching it at the school that you had the opportunity to play at. Just quickly, what's that experience been like for you over the last 3 years?
It's been really fun to kind of keep that tradition going, you know, playing here and playing on Newell Stadium and seeing all the great things that come from the Gloucester community, and it's just been a pleasure to kind of give back to my community.
You know, certainly there are ups and downs with high school sports, especially with the quality of your team is reflective of the numbers that you get and the quality and experience, especially of the players that you come up. What can we expect to see from Gloucester Girls Varsity Soccer and the Gloucester Soccer program in general this year?
I think this year is going to be the year that we shine in the Northeast Conference. In the past 3 years, we've had about 20 or so kids come up for double sessions. And this year, we had over 35. So a much better pool to select from. We got some great new talent. We have two new freshmen coming in and two upperclassmen who are playing fishermen soccer for the first time this year. They came from other schools, and we're looking forward to seeing what they can do for us.
You know, and certainly numbers give you the opportunity to have larger numbers on your sub-varsity programs that give girls the opportunity to play and to improve their skills so that they can, again, move up to the varsity level in a year or two.
Yeah, and next year we are losing 9 seniors. And so having a solid JV program that is full of talent is going to give some room for those players who are talented to move up and take some spots.
Okay, let's go back and look at some of those 9 seniors that are going to provide the core of your team this year.
Absolutely. So in the defense, we have our captains, Rachel Neris, Alexia Marnoto, who formerly plays midfield, who I'm thinking about putting in defense, another senior captain. Haley Blanchett is another captain. We have seniors that fill all roles on our field, and they're going to be an important factor in keeping this team together and showing some senior experience.
What style do you guys play? I remember I used to talk with James Cook when he was the head coach of the boys soccer program. And we used to discuss, you know, the formations that he would use. And for him, there was basically, you know, you were constantly, you could move forward from the back, you could move forward, and it was a constant rotation, a circling effect, so to speak, where a midfielder might end up playing back on defense. If he notices the defenseman on his side, a defensive back has moved forward up the field on an attack. Would you guys play a similar style to that, or do you pretty much stay within the, like a 4-4-2.
We typically play a 4-4-2, and in the past years we played a diamond in the back. This year we're actually trying to transform into a flat back 4. So I think the talent that we have this year is going to allow that to happen. And eventually we're hoping that we usually play a 4-4-2. Hopefully this year we can actually do a 4-3-3 and get a little bit more offensive production.
Good. You mentioned some of your seniors. Who are the other seniors that you're going to be looking for, if not only for leadership, but for scoring and for defense? Now I know I put you on the spot.
Oh, for sure. So seniors that are looking to score, Lily Coons is returning as a striker. She can put the ball in from quite a few yards away. Depending on where Alexia plays, she can put the ball in the net. And Sophia Pata on the outside mid. She's coming back from an illness, but she's looking pretty good, and I think that she can put the ball in the back of the net as well.
I have to ask one last point, associated with Gloucester Soccer of the recent past. We have a former player, Claire Pluler, now playing over in the Swedish Premier Soccer League.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I had a pleasure of being the assistant coach when Claire was playing. And she was always really fun to watch, and it's fun to see kids from a small community doing big things, and so we're proud of her and proud to know her.
You know, certainly Dave showed me her team picture today, and anyway, she looks like she was born to play. That she looks like she fits just in with the Swedish national. You wouldn't be able to pick her out of a team picture.
No, that blonde hair and blue eyes. She fits right in. Can't speak the language. Doesn't know what they're saying to her, but she can play soccer. She'll do just fine.
You know, and certainly you see that a lot, especially if people watch the European leagues. There's so many different internationalities on all the various teams. The coach can't talk to all these guys, but individual sports have a language all their own. And you play the sport, you know what the coach wants you to do. You know, and getting out there, the transition is that much easier because you're good at esports. And Claire was always a joy to watch. I watched her every time I could when BU was on TV.
Okay.
And it was amazing just the skill level that she was at. Again, from the small town, here's a girl who went to BU, played against national ranks teams all the time, and never looked out of place.
No, she could hang with the best of them out there. So I think her goal is to come back here, try out for the Breakers at some point, and hopefully be part of their program. And I think that she'll do great things for them too.
Yeah, well, certainly she's a role model for all the girls here. And in the years, especially at Gloucester High School, that if you have talent and if you work to develop that talent, things like this can happen for you as well.
Oh, for sure. Claire never was one to sit down and not do something. Claire played soccer year-round. And if we can get those kids that have some talent to go play some club soccer and play year-round, Gloucester can do great things. And she's an example of that.
All right, Coach, we're going to get together every couple of weeks, and we'll look at where the season's at. We'll do a little review of where you've been and a preview of what's coming up, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, that's been Allie Walsh-Smith, the girls' varsity soccer coach here at Gloucester High School. For the Coach's File, brought to you by Big Jim's Auto Body, 19 Creek Street in Beverly, I'm Tim Kearns.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Okay, we are back, and joining us now is Manchester Essex coach Jeff Hutton. And Coach, first of all, congratulations on another opening day win, and a big win over Northeast.
Yeah, it was a great contest, and, you know, for those who were at the game, it was, the standing room only crowd. It was awesome. Close game, had a little bit of back and forth. We scored right on the opening drive, and they went right down and scored, and then it was kind of a back and forth. And, you know, I think we controlled most of the game in the first half, and they did a really good job of keeping the ball away from us in the third quarter, and then it took us to the fourth quarter, so we actually got a little bit of breathing room. But then they put another one in to make it 21-12 with a two-point conversion coming up, and still 3 minutes in the game, or about 2 minutes in the game. So it wasn't until we actually had the ball with less than a minute to go, that's when we really felt comfortable that it was over.
Not necessarily ball control, but protecting the ball and so on. How'd your kids do with that when they had the ball first half and late in the game?
Well, I mean, we spent a lot of time in practice, obviously, going over ball control. You know, the one time we did fumble it, and that was our really, if I think about it, we only ran one, maybe four plays in a whole third quarter. So they kind of turned around and did everything, the same thing we did then in the first half. We had the ball two times in the first half and scored on both of them. Just milking the clock type drives, and that's good. You know, it helps us out, but, you know, they have the same type of offense, and, you know, they just did the same thing to us, and they just sucked the life right out of our, you know, we had a good thing going at a halftime, and that's one way to suck the air out of the stadium is turn the ball over and the other team takes it right down and scores.
Jeff, the games that we saw over the weekend, I was surprised at how crisply well played they were. Not a lot of penalties, not a lot of what you want to call rookie mistakes, I guess. How was your game in that regard?
Well, you know what? I think the officials, for the most part, even they let the kids play. I mean, you know, the egregious ones, there's a couple late hits. You know, our guys had a couple blatant holds. But, you know, for the most part, I felt the officials did a good job of just letting the kids play. And, you know, we work on all that stuff, and we do a lot of fundamental things in practice, so we try to limit that type of stuff. You know, it's, we call those, I'm sure every other coach calls it, self-inflicted wounds. You know, we try to limit those as much as possible. I mean, every yard is hard to get, so we don't want to lose yards on either side of the ball.
Well, Nick Kukaroo mentioned the fact, you know, as you did when I saw you last week, that you get 22 guys out there, and that's a tough number on a hot day. How'd the boys do?
Well, you know what? We have 23 gentlemen, and we have one young lady from Rockport who is our kicker. And you know what? That could be an issue, and it was at times. But we have so many guys that are getting tons of reps in practice. It's like a constant 2 hours of conditioning for those for our kids. So I think once we got past, you know, the football game and the excitement of the first game and the nerves, and I only have two seniors that are starting on offense and defense. We have a lot of guys that are young playing. So I think once we got past that, we started to get into a groove and settled in. You know, there's a couple mental mistakes that we made because the guys were getting a little tired, and, you know, we just got to keep working on that conditioning aspect.
All right, tell me about your running back. 168 yards, 19 carries, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not a bad night, huh?
Especially for a first night. You got that. Yeah, that's a season for some kids, but obviously a workhorse.
Yeah, well, Robbie's going to be the guy. I mean, he actually came into his own towards the end of the season last year. We had 3 senior running backs last year, so he was our 4th running back on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the season, he was running tailback for us, fullback for us, and he did a little bit of both Friday night, too. I mean, he's predominantly one of our running backs, wing backs, and then at times we would sneak him in at fullback, you know, to run a trap here or a toss here. And, you know, he had 19 carries. That's a lot. And, you know, on a sophomore running back, Dan Rodier, he had 14 or 15 carries, I think. So that's what we want. We want those guys getting the bulk of those carries.
Tell me about Robbie Sarmanian, his running style and his physical size.
That one play, he had an unbelievable play going towards the street away from the school where he must have broke at least 4 tackles and dragged at least 3 defenders about another 2 or 3 yards. he's a guy you like to give the ball as much as you possibly can.
A fullback running back. All right, that's a good combination. Well, you know, Jeff, again, congratulations, a big win. I know how pumped you are with the win last year and starting this year. Now, you got Ipswich coming up, and I'm trying to look here. I think Ipswich took it on the chin their first week, but you're at Ipswich. North Reading 21, Ipswich 13. So they were in that game as well. So what do you know about Ipswich this year?
Well, we have Saugus next week. We have Ipswich is a little later on down the road, but I know Coach Fassett over there is a good guy. I've got to know him pretty close, more than just coaching. And you know, he's going to have those kids ready to go when we play him. And it's, you know, it'll probably come down to, you know, not that we have that automatic qualifier for second place, but it's a home game for us this year. And, you know, that's going to be a tough one. You know, I can't look past any of these games. I mean, they're all tough.
I wasn't meaning to. I read it wrong. So Saugus had a tough night losing to Austin Prep. And I was talking to Phil Stacey the other day saying, you know, these, not that I have anything against the private schools being a public school teacher, you know, but the interlopers, the guys coming into the Cape Ann League and the Northeastern Conference and winning, I don't like that. So Saugus is going to be loaded for bear for you guys.
Well, of course they are. I mean, when, you know, a couple of years ago when all, you know, the Cape Ann and the Northeastern Conference combined for the 3 or 4 tier league system it was, you know, there was a couple of years where Saugus actually played Manchester Essex in league play. So there's a little bit of a history there, but not much. But it's a different type of offense than we're going to see just about all year long. You know, they're predominantly a read option offense. And, you know, we just went against the wing tee. We saw a couple spread teams in the preseason. So this, on a short week, you know, when you play, you know, from Friday night and we practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is our pregame, that's a lot to prepare for in only 2 days, really 3 days of practice.
One more thing, Jeff, you know, the term read option, you know, I go back years and years and years as a fan watching, and it was always just called option, you know, quarterback option, or you know, the old wishbone and all that stuff. Well, is there a basic difference now, something new, where it is called the read option? Is that different for the quarterbacks?
Well, it's kind of like the old school triple option, the Army midline.
Right.
Is where, you know, the quarterback takes the ball, opens up, and he's reading either a D tackle or an outside linebacker, and based on what that guy does, then he either hands the ball to the fullback or he runs down the line and pitches it.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to be fundamentally sound. You have to read your keys, and, you know, everyone has a responsibility on option, and regardless of who has the ball, you have to do it. And if you get caught, like, looking in the backfield or trying to make a play more than you're supposed to, you know, the old Bill Belichick, do your job. If you're trying to tackle the quarterback and your job is to dive back, next thing you know, that guy is running 50 yards for a touchdown right behind you.
Sounds like a lot of responsibility for the defense as well, though. You're putting a lot on young kids if a quarterback knows what he's doing.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's kind of like why it's great running our offense. You're asking 16, 17, 18-year-old kids to be super disciplined 100% of the time. That one time they misread a key or they think, oh, I've got this play figured out, that's when you run a counter or a reverse or something else, and they go right by you. So that's, this type of offense poses problems if you're not on top of it.
Okay, Coach, finally, how'd you guys make out, you know, health-wise?
Well, knock on wood, just a couple little bumps and bruises that you get from playing football, but we'll have everybody at practice tomorrow in full pads.
Okay, and your game Friday, Saugus, is at home.
It's a home game, 7 o'clock, yep.
Jeff, awesome. I'll talk to you next week sometime during the week. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Thanks for calling.
All right, good luck, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That is the Manchester Essex High School head coach, football coach, Jeff Hutton, and I got my schedule mixed up. They are playing Saugus on Friday night. It is a home game. Ipswich is playing Newburyport, and I'll be talking with the Newbury football coach, Mike Levine, next, so you can see how I get screwed up so easily. You're listening to MSO News Sports. We'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All righty, here we go. Talking now with Newburyport head coach, Newburyport High School's head football coach, Mike Levine. And Mike, man, congratulations. A really big win over Linfield on Friday night.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. It was a good win for our program, for sure.
Well, you know, Linfield, I've watched them the last couple of years, and for a relatively small school, they've got some big kids, they've got some fast kids, and they play football really well. So give me a little thumbnail as to how the game went, if you don't mind, Coach.
Sure. There were only two drives in the first quarter. They had a 13-play drive, but we held them out of the end zone. Then we had a long drive that we scored on, but not until midway through the second quarter. Then they got the ball back and drove down, and maybe one of the turning points of the game, we stopped them on fourth down on about our 40-yard line, and then we ran a little bit of trickery, a sort of double pass on the next play that our kid just threw beautifully for a 60-yard touchdown, and that put us up 12-0. That was a big play for us in the game. So we led 20-12 at the half, and then our kids came out and played pretty well in the second half, and final score was 32-12.
Very good. A couple of standouts you want to mention on either side of the ball?
Well, you know, you could almost always name your quarterback and your running back, and certainly Robbie Shea, our quarterback, did everything we asked him to do. But I think, you know, we have a little sort of kids pro wrestling belt that I give every week to our little in-house unsung MVP, and we actually gave it to Scott Childs, our defensive tackle this week. Our defensive line did a real good job disrupting some of the things that Linfield does well.
Excellent. I was going to ask you about that because some of the line coaches, man, they get upset when we don't mention them. How about on offense? Have you got a lineman that has got some seasoning and you rely on pretty heavily?
Well, I'll tell you, our center, who also plays the middle linebacker for us, is one of our two captains. We have twin captains, Brian and Nick Tulin. And Brian Tulin played his butt off at center and makes all the line calls. And our left guard, Brian Tamayoshi, who plays linebacker for us, both those kids. You know, it's funny that the media gives plenty of attention to the quarterbacks and the running backs. So we as coaches in the locker room, we tend to, when we're throwing praise around, it's usually at those big guys.
Absolutely, and I totally get that. And you know, the thing is, it sometimes as in doing this, being an educator and so on, I know sometimes coaches are very careful in singling out kids because you don't want to slight anybody. And you know, it's obvious that the skill positions do get all the ink. So we want to keep as many kids and give them as much positive information, talk, and you know, stuff that we can. How about the heat? How'd you guys do with the heat? And did that affect the game at all on Friday night?
Not much. We had a decent amount of kids that cramped up, so I guess to the extent that it affected the game, it just put our depth to the test. And I was really pleased with a number of kids who stepped in who weren't starters and had to play, you know, more than you might have expected on week one from a backup. But we had a number of kids who stepped right into the role and did exactly what they'd been coached to do. So that was good to see.
You know, I remember as a sophomore in Texas trying out in August the double sessions we used to have with one little Dixie cup of water and so on. but I don't I don't remember if there was any effect. It's hot at night. Was there any, you draw any difference, any similarity between that heat down there and what you had on Friday night?
I tell you, you know, driving around about 2, 3 in the afternoon, I came back in and said to our kids, this reminds me a little bit of Texas. I mean, it was 92 degrees at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it cooled off a little at night, but certainly it's very unusual for a New England kid to play a football game in 90-degree weather. I was not pleased with our conditioning, and I'll take the blame on that. I think we needed to be in a little better shape because a lot of kids did cramp up. But like I said, the good side of that coin was that some kids, and in particular really some seniors, who were backups, stepped right in and didn't miss a beat on some of the linemen roles, so that was nice to see.
Tremendous. Okay, you've got Ipswich coming up. You're at Ipswich down the road a piece, and what can you tell me about the Tigers?
Well, they played a good North Reading team within one touchdown last week, and I think we all know North Reading's usually one of the tougher teams in the area, so I think Ipswich is on the rise, and you know, certainly we're going in there fully expecting they're going to be battling and giving us everything they've got.
All right, and how's the health of your team? Did you guys come away okay from the game?
Mostly, yeah. We're a little nicked up, but certainly nothing that I can complain about. You know, there's not a team that's 100% healthy at any point after week one. Everybody's got their share of injuries, so in terms of major stuff, we're pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Mike, I hope to do this from time to time throughout the season, if you don't mind, and again, congratulations on a terrific opening.
Yeah, call anytime. Thanks, guys.
Okay, take care, Coach. That is Mike Levine, who is the Newburyport head coach, and they were winners over Linfield in their opener on Friday night, and that one was 32-12, as Coach Levine mentioned. Okay, take a quick break. We come back. We're going to have Bill Newell's interview with Bishop Fenwick coach Dave Woods. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com, and we'll get to that in just a second.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender. MSO Newsports.com, MSO Radio. This is MSO Newsports. I'm Bill Newell with Dave Woods, athletic director, head football coach at Bishop Fenwick High School. And Dave, the 2016 season began on a nice note for you guys on Friday night with a shutout victory over Hamilton Wenham. So I guess some thoughts on that game, your opener.
Sure, it's a great way to start the season, obviously. And anytime your defense can pitch a shutout, you must have done something right. So Coach Dugan did a great job, and the kids played awesome on defense. And our offense controlled the line of scrimmage a little bit, moved the ball. Would have been nice to score a little bit more, but they did a great job. So it was a good way to start the season.
What do you, in the first game, what kinds of things do you think you came away with as learning about your team?
Well, a couple of kids stepped up. We had some last-minute replacements the day of the game that kids weren't able to play, so we had to put other people in. And then we had some kids, it was a pretty hot, humid night, some kids that cramped up late in the game, and we had to put other people in. And so we found some players that want to play, some of the younger guys and some of the backups that performed great, and they definitely want to play. And it was good to see that we have some depth.
Well, maybe just share with us some of the key players on offense, and then we'll shoot over to defense as well for Fenwick this year.
Sure. Corey Bright is our quarterback. It always starts with your quarterback, and Corey's a sophomore, had a great season last year as a freshman. And Isaiah Cashwell Doe, Isaiah's our tailback. He's a junior, and same deal. He really had a great year last year as a sophomore, and I think he had a big night Friday night, and he's going to be he's definitely a talented kid, and he's going to be a headache for some defenses hopefully this year. Colin Norton also had a great night. Colin's a hard-working kid, had two receiving touchdowns. So those are the guys that scored all the points on offense, but it always starts up front on offense. And the offensive line, I thought the offensive line did a great job Friday night. So we got a few things we need to tweak and add, and fix. But overall, offensively, it was a great performance by all those key guys.
Yeah. And over on the defensive side of the football, as you mentioned and noted, a shutout. So who are the guys on defense that you're counting on this year?
Yeah, Luke Huffnagel is middle linebacker, and Luke played a tremendous game. He really had a great game in the middle for us. Our defensive ends did a nice job, Mike Sullards and Chris Fisher. And the secondary really, really did an outstanding job. Cam Eon, Sam Mastromateo, Dylan Mullen, Cam Peach is a receiver for Hamilton Wenham, and he's an unbelievable talent. And I think he maybe had one catch for 12 yards. So Danny Mastromateo was a defensive player who we had kind of keying him and on him a lot all night. So to hold him to one reception is pretty good, and it was a circus catch. He made a great catch with perfect coverage. Colin Norton is the other guy in the secondary, and again, I thought the secondary played great.
Well, you're at Dedham this week, and then home with Pawtucket in Game 3, and you had a 9-2 year last year. So, what kind of a season do you hope to have within the conference this year?
I think the kids have high hopes every year, and the staff does too. Everybody has high expectations, but I think right now we're kind of trying to take it week by week. So we're focusing on Dedham, and we gotta do the best we can to put together a good game plan for Dedham and let go out there and play a good game Friday night, and then we'll build off of that.
Yeah. No, I got you. I got you. We're talking with Dave Woods, head football coach and athletic director at Bishop Fenwick High School. Dave, I know some any changes in your coaching staff from last year to this year on the football side?
We have a few new guys with us. Yeah, it's great. We have Zach Nardone, who's a former captain, offensive lineman here. He's teaching at the school now, too. And Zach's on staff, and Mike Doucette is a new coach. Mike's a great guy. Mike's been around, coached a little at Marlin Catholic. He was in the Danvers system a little bit. And also Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn's a Wakefield guy. Mike's a tremendous football guy. So those guys, along with the same guys we had last year, but they've really added a lot to the staff.
As far as coaching news or other athletic news here at Fenwick High School, maybe an all-encompassing question. I know you got some renovations going on in the gymnasium.
Yeah, we're excited about the gym. You know, we put in new bleachers. It was long overdue. I think they were the original bleachers from the school back in 1959. So the new bleachers are nice. We got a new scoreboard. We resurfaced the floor, painted the floor, put the nice logo on the center of the floor. We have a new boys basketball coach, Kevin Moran. Kevin's well-known on the North Shore, so we're really excited about boys basketball with Kevin. And, of course, Adam DeBadges and the girls basketball team won a state championship last year, so it's going to be fun to kick off the season and celebrate their state championship from last year. So in the winter, those are some of the things that we're looking forward to in the gym. The volleyball team is in there now, and Coach DeBadges also coaches the volleyball team, and they have, again, very high hopes. They're a very hard-working team, very good team.
Well, you know, you're right. That gym had that 1950s kind of feel to it, late 50s, early 60s. So it's, you know, that's back in my time. So, you know, at least as a little kid. So I hate to see those things go.
Yeah, well, the gym's the same size. Everything's still the same. It's still like walking into Hoosiers a little bit, but we dressed it up a little bit, gave it a nice paint job and put some nice bleachers in, but it still gives us that home court advantage with a small, confined area, so.
Any other, you know, no upper deck in those in the gymnasium yet, right?
No, unfortunately we weren't able to add any more seats, so it's still the same size, but it looks nice, and we're looking forward to seeing it this winter.
All right, Dave, any other news from Fenwick or regarding football that I didn't ask you about?
Not much other football. We also have a new hockey coach, so we're kind of excited about the hockey coach too. Jimmy Quinlan has won a couple of state titles at Saugus, so we're really looking forward to. Jimmy's been working with the kids in the off season, you know, working out in the weight room and stuff. So we're looking forward to the winter with some new faces and some fresh ideas for our winter sports.
All right, Dave. Good talking with you, and best of luck.
Great. Thanks very much, Bill.
Dave Woods, athletic director, head football coach at Bishop Fenwick, here on MSONewsSports.com.
Well, that was a fast hour. I didn't get to several other people. We wanted to talk with Tim Kearns and with Scott Cooper. We get caught up on Beverly, Gloucester, Marblehead, and Swampscott. Didn't get a chance to do that tonight, but we will during the week, of course. And I'd like to remind you that on our webpage right here where you're listening, if you're listening to our sports page, we have the MSO Player of the Week, Jermaine Edward of Gloucester High School, who had that amazing 80-yard touchdown at the end of the game to pull out the win over Lynn Classical. A shocking win once again for Gloucester over Lynn Classical. And former coach Paul Ingram mentioning sometimes it's just pure luck. And Gloucester pulling out a 21-19 win over Lynn Classical. Also want to mention the exploits of Matt Andreas of Danvers High School. He was absolutely immense on Friday night. At one point, he carried the ball 14 out of 15 plays and touched the ball 15 consecutive times. The 15th time was a pass. He was in direct snap formation. He was in shotgun formation. But prior to that, he had run the ball 13 straight times, then passed it, then ran it again. Matt Andreas, star of the game, certainly for Danvers High School on Friday night, leading his team to a 27-7 win over Winthrop, and 26 carries, 174 yards, one touchdown, according to Nick Kukuru. So there you have it. Check out the website for the upcoming games. We'll have two games on Friday night. Our video game will be Marblehead at Wakefield, and we've got two more games on Saturday as well. So four games this weekend, and I hope to be covering your school. Comments, critique, questions, whatever it might be, msonewsports@gmail.com. So, on behalf of the MSO sports team, Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.